Luba Mayekiso joining us on the line. Luba, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Very well. You guys?
Yeah, excellent. Thank you. We're talking about mental health awareness. You know, David was saying just off, whilst we were playing a song, that within the Jewish community, there's some resistance to be talking about this. David, just explore that.
Well, I think for me, you know, we use that word quetch. You know, we're quite happy to talk. Oh, we complain about this and that.
But that is therapy, David. Let's not kid. You know, but there's the poor guy next to you, shul, in synagogue.
But, I do think for me, when it comes down to actually reaching out in a public way, and what I mean by public, I'm talking about phoning a helpline, or seeking out therapy. I think we find it
even
more difficult.
Even our SMS line is quiet when we talk about these things. Whereas we normally get an incredibly high number of interactions, it comes down a little bit when we talk about these subjects, maybe because people are just a little bit nervous to engage it.
I think when we talk about things, you know, subjects like superstition, it's a little bit further away. It's safe. But I do think for me, you know, for some reason, and I'd love to know if the listeners agree, that we just struggle to reach out, as I say, you know, in inverted commas, publicly, in, you know, when we are struggling. And I just wonder whether that's just our
observation.
Yeah.
Luba, what's it like within the South African black community? Is there, I mean, I know it's a gross generalization, and I'm sure there are different communities and different areas and demographics that are more recipient and open to talk about mental health. But what's your experience?
I think, guys, mental health in general has been misunderstood in South Africa by all communities. And the black community is no different. There is, I think, a lot of stigma attached to it, which makes it difficult to deal with. I don't think you'll have people phoning and saying, you know, I think I've got a problem, or my kid, my spouse, my relative. Although I do know that government has set up a way where you can try and get assistance for somebody. But I think what has compounded the issue is that many people don't really know the origins of you know, a mental health disorder, what causes it, and what really are the symptoms of it. So it becomes kind of guesswork, where you think that somebody, you know, has issues, whereas they might not have issues. So typically what you'll find that complicates this issue in the black community revolves around cultural beliefs and superstition. So you might have a person, I remember I had a lady who worked in the bank when I won't mention the bank. And she went through a period, and she said, you know what, I have this calling to become a sangoma, and if I'm resisting that calling, then mentally I'm going to be this unstable person who kind of cannot concentrate and does his issues. Now, you know, if you don't believe in the sangoma issue, then you're going to struggle in believing what she's talking about. But she does. Now, whether or not that's right or not is another issue. I mean, I don't believe in it. So there's a lot of those issues where some people say to you, you know what, this kid is playing up because they didn't go through initiation. Had they gone through initiation, they would be well behaved. And now they're presenting this crazy behavior because we didn't do this particular ritual. Or a person is resisting a call from the ancestors to do X, Y, Z. And if they simply do what they're supposed to do, all will be fine. So you've got that kind of huge area that throws confusion. So you can't go to David with this. You can't go to a doctor because the doctor won't understand what you're talking about, because it's not in the realm of medicine. And I think that's what's made it difficult, is that people say, I don't need to take this person to the doctor. We just need to slaughter an ox and do this and all will be well. Or we need to get them to follow this calling that they have. So I think in a huge part, that is what has made it very difficult to understand. And then it becomes very subjective, because it's what you think is the problem with the person, and you have the solution. So I think that's made it incredibly difficult. But I do know that government has tried to focus on it. I mean, if you look at even the United Nations and government, they've said, yeah, we're focused on AIDS, we're focused on malaria, we're focused on the notifiable diseases, but there are other issues in our society that are quite important that somehow fall below the radar. And I think these are some of them. I mean, if I can just share one story with you, Howard, my first experience of this was in primary school. were taken to a psychiatric hospital in Cape Town. But again, there was no preparation as to this is what happens, this is how people get there. So I was quite amazed at the vast variety. And we had one gentleman who took us around, and we thought he was a caretaker until he started telling us that one of the patients was Winston Churchill and so on. So then we thought, okay, this can't be okay. So on the one hand, you had that gentleman. Then you had guys who had pleaded insanity to some, you know, after being charged with some serious crimes. Then you had maybe post-traumatic stress disorder, where here's a bright guy who was a policeman, had passed matric with all A's, whilst doing his call-up in a car chase, his van hit a pole, and he was sitting there drooling, and he couldn't add two and two, and it was tragic to see. So the wide variety, there was a guy sitting in a room with a straitjacket, there was another guy who sat down and said, you know what, every day at 12 o'clock I get these messages. He would scribble in his jotters that were piled in his room. He was writing something we couldn't see, but couldn't read, but he was getting his messages. And you sat there and you said, but is this guy actually genuinely, you know, a patient here, or is he really hearing this? And you couldn't tell. But what I'm trying to get to is that it's such a wide kind of field of medicine, I think, that we don't really know much about, but there's a lot of stigma attached to it. So we don't want to ask, we don't want to admit if we have a relative who has issues, and we just kind of make our own assumptions about it.
One of the problems within the religious Jewish community is the fact that, or the concern that it'll affect your child's, in inverted commas, shidduch, in other words, who they're going to marry. It'll impact negatively on the child if there's a mental illness in the family. Now that's quite a joke, considering the fact that so many Jews suffer from anxiety, suffer from depression. I think the assumption is that every family has it, so they shouldn't worry. But is that the type of a concern as well that you've seen?
Yes, certainly. I mean, it's but remember, it's not carrying the same stigma. It's being treated differently. So somebody who is in corporate, who suddenly believes they have this particular calling, to them they're looking at this as, I've just simply forgotten to, or I've simply overlooked to do a certain ritual. So it's not career-ending.
Right. It's almost sort of reduced to a level of, well, you didn't do that, therefore this has happened to you. Exactly. Which is actually, David, I would imagine that's quite dangerous, because it means it's not treated.
Absolutely. And it's again, it becomes about, you know, blaming the person for feeling how they feel, you know. So if you haven't done something, maybe, you know, a ritual, or haven't prayed, or haven't done enough of something, that is your fault.
And David, why, I'm just going to interrupt you. Why is religion so often associated with psychiatric illness?
Do you think so, Howard? Like,
yes.
In what way?
That people become fervently religious, messianic. You see a lot of that sort of thing around.
Howard?
Yes.
Howard, let me help you maybe. If you look at in Christianity, evangelical Christianity, there'd be a belief that illness would be physical. Let's say you've got a symptom, you know, and also be spiritual. So in that realm of spiritual belief, that is where then people say, you know what, if you're having this trouble or these problems, then it's to do with your spirituality. So that's why then, again, it's not an issue that medicine should deal with. It's an issue that religion should deal with. So it's also huge, especially in the you know, whether you're talking of the African context, where now you'll have deliverance and that kind of prayer, where it's almost excluding medical science and saying this is purely in the spiritual domain.
No, absolutely. I think for me, if you do take things too far, to a point where you're saying, you know, if you would just pray, or if you would just, you know, do this or that, this ritual, then everything will be fine, I think that does lead to difficulty and misperceptions and misunderstandings around.
And as you said, it actually blames the person.
Right.
Beulah says, where the mind goes, energy flows. Scheduling weekly times to focus on our issues outside of a crisis, obviously, in their minutiae, can't be helping.
And it's a good point, because I don't think we are so busy. We are so busy. And, you know, I remember, you know, on the show talking about how blessed we are to have Shabbos and Yom Tov, times where we are encouraged, you know, to stop and just interact with people, and it's all there for us. You want to go to shul? There's our community.
David,
but this is my problem. Do we have a generally accepted kind of definition? Because this is my problem, is that we talk of Mental Awareness Month, but does the average South African knows, you know, what falls within mental illness? And I think this is my problem.
I think it's a great question. Great question.
And Luba, that's the point. I think for me, you know, when we really think about it, what is the difficulty? You know, where can we go? How can we improve things? And, you know, one of the glaring things, I think, is education. But, you know, when you think about what we learn at school, we learn a lot of good things, a lot of important things, but we also learn a lot of things that we'll never use in our lives that really are not relevant to living as such. And I think one of the things that is missing from our education is about mental health. And I think you're right that we don't understand it. We don't we don't know how to identify it, what to do if we feel it, what to do if we see it in other people. And I think it's, as you say, I do believe it's a lack of education. And I certainly believe it should be part of the curriculum. It should actually be part, after maths, you have mental health education period. And it should be on a regular basis because your mental health, your mental well-being is critical. You know, and if you want to argue that it's not affecting the economy, the World Health Organization estimates that it costs the global economy $1 trillion every year. So even if we're just looking at it from a financial point of view, it's worth doing. But obviously,
You see, the thing that I find most amazing is that a lot of what would be classified under mental health, we've almost turned into common jokes to laugh at. You know, somebody's bipolar, for instance, schizophrenia, you know, OCD, and without actually understanding what that is. So it's almost become something lighthearted, you know, that you kind of throw it and you say, ah, they're bipolar. And it's a way of just, you know, brushing off somebody who just said something to you. And I think for me, there lies a problem, is that we know the terms, but we don't know the meanings of the terms. And we have almost a very superficial understanding of the term. And, I suppose, you know, school, like I'm saying, for me, it was at school, but nobody actually explained why we were going to this particular psychiatric hospital or what we saw. So I went there and I saw this variety and I thought, my goodness, this is quite an eye opener. But somehow I couldn't unpack, you know, who had got here, how, and these issues.
The time is 8:52, about to go 8:53. We are talking mental illness. David Abramson, psychologist in private practice, is in studio. Luba Mikey, so he's on the line, and Zanati in studio as well. Zanati, during the break, you made a strange comment during the ads. Yeah.
As I was growing up, like, there was no such thing as mental illness. So a lot of the time, possibly a schizophrenic person or bipolar person would be sent to church, because everyone assumes that they...
Yeah, which is really what Luba's saying.
Yeah, they're possessed by demons. Or if someone was brilliant at school and all of a sudden they don't amount to anything, they can't put two and two together, they'd say it's witchcraft. So it's only now that I'm seeing that, especially with younger people, they're more open about it, especially on social media. But I don't know how it's like in the outside world. I just know that on social media, people talk about it a lot. But also something, yesterday I saw something very interesting. Someone actually tweeted that she admitted herself to a mental institution, and 3 months later she actually discovered that she's not mentally ill, that she actually has the calling.
So, see, there you go.
That's
my problem.
Yeah. Yep. So what does that even? So I think we have to just break down what Zanati's saying, David. Number one, of course, there was mental illness when she was growing up. It just might not have been recognized. Number two, I think we're talking about two different extremes here, aren't we? One of them is some form of, I don't know, psychopathy where somebody is experiencing extreme versions of suffering and of an illness. But really what we need to also be cognizant of, and I think that's really what the focus is today, is people that might be functioning in their normal lives, carrying on a normal job, having a family, but are actually burdened by mental health issues that is reducing their quality of life and making life very difficult.
Absolutely, because I think obviously if someone's, you know, walking around saying that they're hearing things and seeing things, then clearly there's a psychiatric issue happening, I would say. Mm. But as you say, every day people are walking around and pretending that everything is okay. So, but yet on the inside, they're completely overwhelmed and desperate and not coping. And I think for me, those are the people that we are talking to mainly today. And that's what we're trying to highlight today. That, that, you know, if we know and we educate ourselves and if we are educated about what to look for, how to identify people who are struggling, both in a physical way, there are clear physical signs, and also from, you know, obviously emotional signs. You know, a conversation, not to sound dramatic, a conversation can save a life. And, you know, the way we can do that is by knowing and understanding when to have that conversation and with who. So absolutely, I think it's important that we educate ourselves, because as I say, today, tomorrow, you're going to interact with someone who is feeling overwhelmed, but is not talking about it.
Luba, final thoughts from you?
I think for me, the challenge is you've got to educate the younger generation, as Zanati was saying, because the older generation, we kind of steeped in our ways of thinking. Take, for instance, stress. I mean, generally, it's accepted that if you've got stress and can't deal with stress, that's a sign of weakness, you know, on your side, emotional weakness. So society hasn't crafted this where stress is something I can get help for. Stress is something that I need to hide, that I'm not coping with it. So I think for me, the solution is to say, particularly in the African context, how do you get hold of the younger people in the lower grades and teach them about these issues so that before the cultural side becomes really strong? Because it's easy to say it's an odd issue. It's prevalent, this particular approach. And I think we need to understand it more. And I suppose the question, Howard and David, that I would leave you with is, we all have annual checkups that we can go for. I can check my high blood pressure, everything else. But there is no place where you can just have a health check and say, you know, can I have myself screened? And I think that's the problem. Is somebody must either say you need to go for help, in which case you refuse because you think they're judgmental, or by some miracle you think you're in need of help. And I think to wait for somebody to say, I think I need help, is going to be rare.
Absolutely brilliant point. Well made, Luba Maikiso. Thank you. Just a reminder that the Chai FM helpline number is 0800 24 24 36. 0800 24 24 36. If you have any doubts, if you have any concerns about yourself, about anybody around you, pick up the phone. It is not difficult. You will find a very compassionate, understanding person on the other side. Don't use your name if it bothers you. Make up a name or don't use one at all. But just make the call.